My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen right here on 92.9 FM ESPN or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can still tune in each and every day to all the content here at 92.9 FM ESPN. All you got to do is download the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen, and you can also listen to all of our Odyssey stations throughout the country. So make sure you do that to keep up with all that is going on here at 92.9. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is, of course, the master of fun and games, the MC of all fun and games here in the Memphis area, the host of 901 Wrestling, the website CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings to you, Jeffrey. I'd like to start by apologizing to the city of Memphis for
what happened,
for allowing you to win again this morning on trivia.
So
I take full responsibility.
I was thinking about this. I was like last night, I wonder if it's going to be an advantage with me being with Kevin all week or disadvantage. Because when we're bouncing off stories, you now know what I'm aware of.
Right, exactly. So it's a correct disadvantage.
That was kind of how I was thinking.
It's a disadvantage. I think it is a disadvantage. I mean, at least like I have more direction.
Correct. You have more information than you do.
I know what you're even thinking about.
Correct.
Whether or not you're talking about it or not. Because I can try to handle, I try my best, you know, to keep the radio tuned to 92.9 ESPN and listen to every word you say on this station so I can...
My wife doesn't even do that.
Plan accordingly, right?
Yes, of course.
But I can't get, you know, I can't get into what you're talking about off the air. And so much doesn't make the air, right? So... yeah, I think you're at a disadvantage right now. But you have a great chance to go down next week. Hopefully, have an awesome prize pack next Thursday.
With all due respect to Jamie from Bartlett today, this is one, like, I know when I play well. Today was, I just got lucky. Like, there were two that I could just straight up guess. I almost bought you, I stopped into the Mapco, and I saw a zero bar, but it didn't look like it was the white chocolate.
I mean, that's what it is.
I know, but the package,
they're trying to...
I think it was a different... I couldn't find the
is
one
Is there
that,
a different zero?
Apparently so, because I was specifically looking for that, and then this one had, like, brown chocolate on the...
Does it not intrigue you, though, that if it is supposed to be like a Snickers? If everybody likes Snickers...
Well, I think what was funny was what
if you're hungry,
like,
why not grab a zero?
It was, like, 10 years
ahead of the time, right? Too, right?
Yeah, they came out way before the Snickers.
I'd never heard of Zero Wing as a video game. Or was that right? Zero Wing?
Yeah, so it was something like that. I mean, it was, yeah, that was a tough question. It was a tough final.
Yeah, I had no chance on that. So, as always, make sure you listen to Writer Rhythm Write Trivia on Thursdays for another chance to get a fabulous prize. Also, you will hear one of the questions from Writer Than Write Trivia. It is guaranteed to be you will hear the same question during trivia night. And what do we have tonight? Because I think Connor just got his trivia pack.
92.9 ESPN's own Connor Dunning will be out. He'll be out at Hampline, which, oh my goodness, the weather should be fantastic for that. Hampline's an awesome place to play inside or outside. We'll be at Hampline. We'll be at Dan McGinnis in South Haven playing trivia for those northern Mississippians. And also out at Southwind, the Hueys. The Hueys at Southwind. Ooh. For those. If you're in Collierville or Germantown, that's the closest place we are to you every week for trivia. So come on out there to Hueys Southwind. And, of course, Evergreen Grill. That's our newest one in Midtown, Memphis. So come play out there. So four choices to play trivia tonight. We got Music Bingo happening on the roof of the Hyatt for a few more weeks. I'll be out at Disney Music Bingo.
Ooh.
In Cordova at Rockin' Dough. Bring the kids.
I did almost answer your Hercules question before you even finished.
It's amazing. Like, I was like the amount of zero involved with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
That dog, that song, but also there's that other song. Do you know that? That was almost a question today. I thought it was too hard. Imagine Dragons song Zero.
No.
Do you know anything about?
I do not.
About that song. So you would probably
Imagine Dragons is in that list of bands like Bastille where I don't understand how their first single was so good, and every other thing they've done since then, I'm like, this is not any good.
This song did not chart, maybe like on the alternative chart or something for Billboard. It was not in the Billboard Hot 100, but it was, they have a song, Zero, that was featured in Ralph Breaks the Internet. So it plays like during the credits. It's a really catchy song, but that's too hard. I thought that was too hard.
You could have gone
because it's not like Ralph sings it in the movie or anything.
What band did the theme song from Smallville?
What band did this theme song?
Remy Zero.
Oh, there you go. See, so you're ready for, who knows?
Oh,
like, Jeffrey's like, we know he's up on current events, but now we're like learning. He knows it's hard. We're going to find the subject 1 week and you will lose.
Let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. We have apparently, Kevin, we have an epidemic of coaches getting robbed throughout the country.
Yeah, no, it's not a Memphis problem. It's a national problem.
Correct. Not only did our own Penny Hardaway, we do have an update, we'll get into that, have his very exclusive phone posit stolen from his home. Someone just walked right in. Excuse me. Two people just walked right into Rick Pitino's office and robbed him in broad daylight. And Rick is not happy about it. So I wanted to talk about those two big national stories. Also, Jason Hayward's been released from the Dodgers. I want to get your thoughts on nostalgia acts. So we'll discuss that. Eric's going to join us like he does each and every Thursday. We'll talk to him about whether or not this feels to him like the most anticipated season, because no one better to give us context than Eric on that. Let's get into the list. We got an unbelievable story that I don't feel like is getting enough credit. Ross Dellinger does an outstanding job reporting on college football. He got a former Colorado staffer that on the record says, I went and tried to get money from the Saudis. For the NIL. Not anything nefarious, but it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, I guess it's how you define it. Everybody's getting money from them these days. Not everybody, but quite a few groups and organizations. More people than you realize.
Correct.
Are getting money from
them. Especially funding. There is a new book by a guy I used to kind of work with, John Talty. He covered high school recruiting in Mississippi when I was covering Ole Miss, and so he'd cover a lot of the games. But he's now at AL.com, but he's also written a book on Nick Saban, and there's a delicious anecdote about Lane Kiffin. Kirk Ferentz has been suspended. We'll get into all that during the list. Jason Smith's going to join us at 3:30, like he does on all Thursdays. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. So let's start first with the, I guess, somewhat breaking news. It happened a little over an hour ago. Jason Munns and Lucas Fenton of the Commercial Appeal had the story. A 42-year-old Hernando, Mississippi man was arrested and charged Thursday in connection with the theft of exclusive Nike sneakers from Memphis basketball coach Penny Hardaway's home, Memphis police told the Commercial Appeal. The man has been charged with a Class E felony theft of property. According to Memphis police, officers responded to a theft call at approximately 7:20 on August the 8th. 14 pairs of sneakers designed for Hardaway, as well as friends and family, were taken, according to the incident report, which also lists the estimated value of the shoes at $2,100. So what? That's about 150 pair of shoes, right?
Yep.
Let's see. Did I do quick math correctly there? Yeah, 150. Yeah, $150 a pair of shoes. In a Facebook post Tuesday, Memphis police noted that when the officers arrived on the scene, they were advised that security camera footage captured a male pushing a shopping cart and stealing multiple packages, end quote. And if you've not seen
that
image, it is laugh out loud funny. Like,
it looks like a smaller shopping cart, but it's not. The guy's just really big.
Correct. Like, I think the boxes are just really big. And just the casual strolling just up, because I believe he's on Central Avenue. Just strolling down Central with that. Like, can't believe that would draw attention. Memphis police also released still images of the suspect who was wearing a black tank top and long pants.
This guy. You got to see the pictures.
One image shows a male wearing a backpack and pushing the shopping cart with boxes stacked more than 6 feet high. It is laugh out loud funny.
Like, but the shopping cart, like, where you're like, I know people steal things from porches, but the idea that you're going to go steal stuff from porches with a shopping cart, like, I'm going shopping today. Let's go take a look at the what's on the porches in the neighborhood.
Can you help me out here? What, Jeff, because Jeff asked me this question, I don't really have a great answer. I just assume most of the porch pirates are looking for money to get drugs. Like, that seems to be the lion's share.
Well, like, I mean, you know, that's like probably one. It could be all types of reasons.
They're
looking to get money.
It usually is like a quick fix.
Like, that's, it's definitely a quick fix.
But
try to sell the stuff, yeah.
What, are they just like, is it a volume shooting thing? Like, because there's no way you know when you are taking those boxes what's in it, right? Unless he's Superman with X-ray vision. Like, you don't know. Because the boxes from the stills in the video we saw, that right. appeared to be fairly unmarked.
There's like no way you know. There's no way you know unless...
So is it literally
guy,
just...
Maybe you know the guy who delivers it and you might have an idea. They could say,
John's first suspension was inside job. That you know that you have a connection with the truck guy. Which I guess to a certain degree, we're talking...
That's very easily traceable, though.
That's easily traceable, but that's also the plot of Fast and Furious, the first one. You know, they find... do you remember what they were stealing from the truck?
In the original Fast and Furious? It was not shoes.
No.
What was it?
DVD and DVD players, and it was also like DVD. Remember when we used to have the TV combos, the DVD VCR combo inside the front of the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were stealing those too. Those were high ticket items.
I hope they moved all that fast because.
The thing that doesn't make sense to me is, like, are you just trying to just, like, you're just grabbing whatever you can get and then you're, like, are you just pawning it? Like, what happens when you open? Because to me, it's like, if these would have been listed on the internet, that would have been found very quickly. Because that's one of the first places cops usually go. Is like,
yeah, you're selling on the street.
Correct.
If it's traceable stuff, I mean, you're selling on the street. I mean, I guess, right? But did the guy know that who he was stealing from?
My guess is no.
I feel like he wouldn't have done it because that's very traceable.
I don't think Penny Hardaway makes... Like, sometimes you hear, like, you know, like, when we... What was the bling ring? It was, like, when I was in college. There was, like, a group of, like, people in their 20s that would target celebrities and try to rob them. I don't think Penny... I think in Memphis, Penny's less likely to be robbed, right?
I would think so, yeah. But, we don't know. Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
I think compared to standard rich guy, I feel like Penny, the fact that he's Penny, it is a deterrent. Because I think we saw pretty quickly. Once this thing went public, this thing got solved pretty quickly. Now, granted, the criminal was an idiot. Like, he was filmed multiple times with if you knew who he was, like that, you show a picture, it's like, okay, well, that's unmistakable.
This guy, he did not try to disguise himself at all.
Can you also look up what is the degree of a Class E felony? I'm not good on my legal system.
All right, let's find out. Class E felony?
That seems to me like light felony. That's my suspicion. But a felony nonetheless?
They can be punished by a prison sentence of up to 15 years. Examples include carjacking, unarmed, aggravated battery, easy for me to say there, and robbery. So this is definitely falling, I guess, the robbery category. But unarmed car, so on the level, it's on the level of an unarmed carjacking.
So it's
50, but up to 15. So I don't know.
It's felony, but although there's aggravated assault. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I was thinking it sounded like a lot of it was kind of like you didn't have a weapon.
Right.
But aggravated assault, I guess that could be without a weapon. That makes sense.
Class E, right? Is that what it was?
Class E felony.
May be punished by up to 5 years in prison or a $5,000 fine or both. It really depends on state. So, yeah, I'm looking. This is why you always got to click. Don't trust the initial Google top results. So, he possibly could get some jail time. Definitely a fine. I'm glad that.
Do we think he still has the shoes? Because I feel like.
You think he got caught and got.
Because.
So it's 26 pairs?
It was 14 pairs, according to the police report.
Okay.
But they were all, so they were foam posits, but like, I don't think these were like for retail. Like they were special for Penny. And I think that's why Penny was upset is these were clearly like gifted to him from Nike, like being exclusive. You know what I mean? Like this isn't going to market. These are special for him. And so I think that's why he cared. I am very curious to know, like, you think he'd get jail time from this? Like, being able up to 15 years, that doesn't seem likely, but it's like.
Yeah. I guess
a certain part of it is how much does Penny want it to be?
For this particular crime, I don't think it's.
I would think more than anything, Penny just wants the shoes back.
Right.
Now, the question is.
Is the
do
guy.
We think he, do we think he still has
this guy could
possession?
Be a big Tiger fan, too. I mean, think about it. Because we don't think he knew what he was doing. This is different than we'll get into the other coaching robbery happening.
The only thing that I'm curious about is, did he bother to read the shipping label?
Well.
Because at that point, it's probably at least going to have, if it's delivered to Penny, because I think it's Penny's, the East Memphis, the house kind of by Memphis Country Club, across from like the Pink Palace. I think it's that house.
Okay.
I would assume it's addressed to Hardaway.
Right. I mean, Hardaway would be on there. Yeah.
So I wonder if he even, like, looked at the label.
At what point? Because you do have it. Yeah, I've never been a porch pirate before, but I would think you go to the porch, you get what you need, and you get going pretty fast, and then maybe you look at your goods later. And, yeah, at some point I think he had to realize it. But did he realize it initially? Probably
so
not.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess not a Tiger fan.
You think not a Tiger?
I think, although this is it, because like you said, putting ourselves into the mindset of a porch pirate, not particularly easy. But I think if you're a Tiger fan and you read Penny Hardaway, I think your first reaction is OS, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
But we have not got a comment. Maybe that was his reaction.
He kept strolling.
He did keep going.
I think it would have been OS. I think I would have dropped it off and like left it.
He's walking down towards Midtown. Like
maybe like find like some paper. Like write a note. See you in November, Coach. Good luck.
Got a shopping cart. Like it's Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded up with boxes. So I mean, what do you do? So if he took it and he finds out. Oh no! If he is a Tiger fan. Oh my goodness! I just took this from Penny. Like,
that's the thing. It's not, my understanding is it's not easy to unload shoes because it's a particular size.
Oh, that's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So they're not, and I assume if they were for Penny, they're probably, I don't think Penny wears a size that, like, I don't think Penny's got a 10.5 foot.
Right. So if he does have extra 10.5, if Penny's listening, if any of those are 10.5, I'll take them. That's exactly
right,
what I
right, for bringing mean. Attention to it.
Yeah.
So this is being a hero.
Yes.
My gut says, I think it's going to come down to how pissed is Penny. Because I think if Penny's pretty pissed, I hope this guy has access to a good lawyer. Because, I mean, they caught him in broad daylight.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, this could turn out to be a great. I mean, it could turn out to be a story. When we learn more, right? Because there is a reason the guy had to do this, right? So is Penny forgiving? Is he a Tiger fan? Is he not? If he is a Tiger fan, I could see Penny be very forgiving, and even, you know, could he give him a pair of shoes? I don't know. And like, you could see that story.
Maybe maybe that was the idea all along. Yeah.
Just wanted one pair.
Right. I just want one, but to get one, I have to steal 14.
I mean,
maybe give him back. Sorry.
Sorry, give him back. Well, here you can have one. I mean, that's something that would happen in a, you know, a movie or something. But I don't think Penny's gonna like say like we need to prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. I
that's my suspicion as well.
But I mean, still, he did break the law, and the fact that the police use their resources, like, it's not Penny's decision necessarily if any type of charges are going to be, because this crime was committed. And so my understanding, you know, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not Jeff Hawkins,
allegedly,
I would think something would have to happen to him. He'd have to have some type of punishment. But I mean, you don't want to, obviously he doesn't have the $5,000. I would not want to fine him, because this guy obviously needs some money. So but will he be spending some time behind bars for stealing from the coach?
I'm going to bet he might need to spend some time in rehab as well. Then our second story, legendary basketball coach Rick Pitino. His office at St. John's University was broken into by a pair of thieves who ransacked it for memorabilia, cops and sources said, this according to the New York Post. Two as yet unidentified men ran off with $375 worth of goods, including a basketball, a bullhorn, there was also a sword, a mask, and what Rick is actually upset about, because he put it on Twitter, really upset. He's tweeting like Trump, like really upset, exclamation point. Taking my memorabilia is one thing, but the 1985 6-liter Petrus Pomerol has me livid.
Okay, first thing first, just we got to once again acknowledge it's this crime is not a Memphis problem.
Correct.
The crime on coaches, this is a nationwide problem that needs to be addressed. Penny's stolen items and all of his goods were all shoes, and it was valued at
$2,100.
Pitino's stuff is just $375.
Well, this is the problem, because this is what TMZ reports. There are websites about that Petrus, the 6-liter.
I'm looking it up. The 1985 bottle.
Correct.
It is.
It says anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000.
Yeah, it's listed on this website. You can add it to your cart for $99,598.99. So it's $375. Is that $375 plus the bottle of wine? Is what we're saying? Because this bottle of wine.
I'm wondering if because. In the end, do they have to, like, what did it sell for in 1985? Like, I wonder if that's, like, the,
he bought it.
Even though it's worth whatever, I wonder if, because clearly they are not counting that in the $375,000. Or could this be Slick Rick's greatest move of all time? What if you just throw out there, like, your office gets ransacked. What if I just put out my 1985 Chateau Neuf de Pop, which, by the way, conveniently sells for about $60,000. Like, what if you just throw it out there?
Stolen.
Because then, you know, I mean, it's technically insurance fraud, probably.
Right.
But the crime hasn't been committed yet. The amount of people. Do people just not understand that cameras are everywhere?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're everywhere. Like, that's the Penny story definitely proved that. But the idea. You know, it does go.
But like, think about it in these terms. I go into the richest neighborhood in town, which is just about where Penny lives.
Right.
I am making the assumption everything has cameras, because that's what rich people do. They have cameras, and I would assume if it's right off of Central Avenue, there's going to be cameras everywhere. If I walk into a college basketball practice facility, I'm assuming there are cameras everywhere. Am I the idiot? Or, like, I just don't understand. Like, or is it, like, a situation now where it's like, whatever, they'll get video. I mean, they're not going to do anything about it. Have we just gotten so cavalier with it?
I don't know. So these guys, they're definitely. look, sometimes do you ever get taken out of a movie when you're watching a movie and there's like something going on and you're like, well, why? They got to have cameras to see this, you know? Well, yeah, not necessarily least, a heist movie, but anything. It's like, why are they not looking at their cameras? They should have cameras.
But at least with a movie, I can make the assumption, all right, this is part of the story that they're trying to tell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I were to nitpick the every detail of, well, that wouldn't happen in real life. Perfect example for you. My golf group has a lot of Navy guys in it, and this was unbelievable. One of my playing partners is a retired nuclear sub captain, and in our golf group last night, it was texted. Someone threw out, "Guys, Top Gun is on." And then my captain buddy said, "Just BTW." You know Maverick is not on a nuclear carrier. He's sweating all the time, and no self-respecting nuke engineer wouldn't be pumping out AC. Because obviously that'd be a problem for the nuclear sub. I argued, though, see if you agree with me. Mav is a, I think it's fair, safe to say, while he's a hero, Mav's clearly a narcissist. What if, like, Mav kind of knows the look is sweaty, right? He definitely feels like a guy that would keep a spray bottle with him at all times because that's just how he looks best.
Oh, so that's how you rationalize.
Okay. Yes. That was my rationale. Also, I'm not sure we had that many nuke subs in 80, what was it, 5? What year did that maybe come out?
Yeah, it was in the 80s. Yeah. So yeah, that's a point. That's a point. But that, so you when you're watching a movie and you see like something that could be like a mistake or a flaw, you're like, why are they not explaining this? You just explain it yourself and move on. It's not a problem. Like, it's
the
like,
things that
it's like, it's probably because of this, and you write your own excuse.
I assume that they're bad writers, and I just go, this is bad writing, moving on. What bothers me in a movie, in that kind of thing, is if, like, you see a mistake. Like, in Bohemian Rhapsody, that's scene by the lake where they've smashed all the cuts together, and, like,
okay.
Multiple
yeah,
of them
an actual
are,
mistake by
correct.
The people making the movie.
Correct.
But if it's like a logical
yes.
issue with what's going on, you can explain it.
I can
you just go ahead and explain
disbelief.
It. Yeah, just go ahead and explain it.
I've watched too much
it's
wrestling.
It's possible.
You know what I mean? We've watched too much wrestling. I have to, like, I can't get stuck on every detail. But this one does blow me away. It's like, I want to know what the thought process is. Have we just gotten so cavalier that we're sitting there going, whatever, even if they video us, or do they just not know that they're on camera?
This looks like I'm watching. So the Patino one, there's only, from what I can see, this one angle, but they're walking, but he's very, you know, he's got that bullhorn that he stole.
Correct.
You know, watch out, Jimmy Hart. You know, these thieves are, they're still on the loose. It looks like, I mean, they were being very casual. And they didn't steal that much stuff, but he was walking around with one thing that he stole. So
now, the one thing I will say,
they don't look like
they look like they have a 6-liter bottle of wine.
It does not look like they have that bottle. Which also I'm finding on another website is only 2,000. So maybe it depends on liters it is.
Is that not the most Italian thing ever? You can take all my stuff, but don't take my wine.
Dude. It's very on brand for him.
Very, very much on brand. All right, and then the other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on. So Jason Hayward has been released, and one of my Braves buddies, he's being designated for assignment. He's going to be released by the Dodgers. And one of my Braves buddies said, bring him home. Where do you stand on the nostalgia tour? Because I used to be pretty opposed to it. I think they're quite dumb. It's usually a statement of we're not competitive. I got to be honest, though. I didn't think I would care, but when Pujols put the Cardinals jersey back on and he hit the first bomb, like, I was 13 again. Like, it's like, I do understand there it is a fan service thing, but I'm not someone that ultimately dismisses that fan service is useless. Where do you stand on? I think the best example would be when Mark finished with the Lakers. And we technically, remember his contract got part, it was part right. of a trade, but Mark yeah. was done playing NBA basketball. They did reach out and see if Mark would be interested in playing. He was not. But like, I did think about it. I think if they would have brought him back, I think I would have been in it.
I would have been for that. We did have, I mean, we did have the return of Battier, right?
Yes.
And it actually paid off in a historic fashion.
At least though he was.
But he was not done yet.
Yeah, exactly. This would be more like
the end. He was not at the very end.
This would be more like after, how would you have felt after Zebo goes to the Kings, TA goes to the Pelicans, Mark goes to the Raptors, then Lakers? To me, it's like, after that, bringing all of them back. I would make the argument.
All of them is a lie.
You can't bring them all back. But if you brought one back, where do you stand on the nostalgia tour?
It's for certain. I think it might have worked for Tony Allen. Because it is tough when they're nothing like they were before.
Correct.
When they were wearing that jersey.
The argument that I will listen to against it is you don't want to damage the memory. And watching a player that's past his prime is not fun. Especially when it was someone that was so instrumental. I would say, though, even though Pujols was clearly diminished and he wasn't that good, like, he got up to bat in the last game, like the last playoff game, and I still kind of thought, like, if anyone's going to do it, it's him. Like, there is still kind of, could the great ones summon greatness one more time? I think it also kind of depends on where is the team competitively. Like,
right.
I would understand if Braves fans are sitting there going, yes, this season has sucked. We've had all these injuries, but we're still in the wild card race. I would understand Braves fans going, well, let's try to make the playoffs and see what happens.
I have no problem with it if it does not mess up your future in any way.
Correct.
You know, so if you can bring it back, as long as the future still in terms, whether it's that the success of that season, which is still in play, or
you don't want to
messing
give up
the salary
or
cap
whatnot, yeah.
or future picks, you don't want to do anything like that. If you can just get it and it's a benefit of a trade or a move, or can add excitement to a season that's not going, you know, well, then why not? We have not really. I mean, the example would be the Grizzlies. That's the professional sports franchise in Memphis. Had that I can. We've had like. It's so much tied into Tigers, right? That the nostalgia is like getting the Tiger player on the roster, like Derrick Rose
sure.
was coming in very recently. Even like the very beginning of the Grizzlies history.
I guess
like,
that's actually disappointing. Derrick's kind of a nostalgia act.
He was a nostalgia guy when he came in, yeah.
Now, I don't think they brought him in for nostalgia. I think they brought him in for Ja. To be like, for like guidance, leadership.
Did it? But does it matter that it was, but he what? That he was a Tiger? That he wore 23 in that building before? I don't know. I don't know.
I
definitely did. I do think it mattered.
I definitely think it mattered. I think also two
puts
things.
Puts you on the radar for the Grizzlies.
It also helped that when Derek came back and he was talking about Memphis, to hear him say, like, you know, how great it had been to be back, you know, putting his kids in Lausanne and, like, how everyone had been nice to him.
He was rolled in, like, welcome home.
Correct. And I think that also...
So that might be the closest one. Because I would think, like, Elliot Perry, when the team started here in Memphis, played for the Grizzlies, but I think it was in part because he was that nostalgic act at that time, and no offense to one of the greatest Tigers ever, but he was...
I think Lorenzen, too. When he brought Lorenzen in.
You think so? But, I mean, he contributed at least.
No, I mean, Lorenzen was a good player, but I do think...
He was brought in for the Tiger reason.
Yes.
The Tiger reason is involved. We got to sell tickets, man. The Tiger reason definitely and, involved. But he was at least still a rotational player,
a starting
player in the NBA. But Elliot Perry doing the 10 days. And Derrick Rose obviously passed his prime. And it was a come here, how cool would it be to wear that Memphis jersey as well. But, it's nostalgia sells for sure. And I think it can help. I think it helps. It would help any team if they can bring back a beloved former, unless player.
I'm,
as long as it doesn't hurt anything.
I think it's clearly circumstantial. Like if you're in the middle of like a playoff race, I kind of get it. Like, hey, let's not get this off the rails. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric Hasenstein joins the program. We'll find out how Eric thinks. What he thinks about the anticipation for this series. Where does it rank? Is it the most anticipated? Are there others? We'll get his thoughts when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, is Eric Hasson, kind enough to join us each and every Thursday. Kevin and I have been talking about it, and obviously with it still being September, maybe not quite there yet, but we both think as we get closer and closer to the season, this is going to end up being one of the most anticipated seasons that we can remember in our lifetime. How do you think it actually stacks up since you have the context?
Oh, I mean, look, here's the thing. I think you look at the way the West breaks out and some of the scheduling there towards the end, especially, like, if you need a win in those final handful of games and you got to make that roadie to Denver after a national TV game, there wasn't a lot of common sense made on that bit of scheduling, but it is what it is. That's a really hard job. I just think that, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think they've got to find their chemistry, because they really haven't played together, this group, at all, especially with Edie being in there. But with, if Gigi Jackson's a big part of the rotation, Vince Williams, Marcus Smart, and Ja Morant, that they just haven't played. The three guys that have are Ja, Dez, and Jaren, obviously, and then even Luke Kennard. But the rest of your group really hasn't found that time on the court. So they got to find that chemistry quickly, because you can ill afford to dig yourself a hole in this Western Conference. I mean, it's just loaded. Minnesota, Oklahoma City made big moves, I thought, that made them better. And then Dallas, and the list goes on and on. I mean, you just keep going. Denver, don't forget about them. And then, you know, what will the Clippers look like without Paul George? Will they feed off the energy of that new facility they're opening, which looks amazing?
The internet went out day one. Oh, that Bruno Mars concert.
I didn't even know that it had opened up, to be honest.
It was the first event.
Yeah, well, you know, good guy to kick it off with. I remember when they opened Little Caesars in Detroit. And I think they were
Kid
really
Rock,
upset.
I believe, right?
Yeah, it was Kid Rock.
Yeah,
everybody
was Michigan's
super
own.
Super angry about that. And I'm like, why? Like, it doesn't. I don't understand why people get mad about stuff like that. But I saw some of the stuff, like the Ballmer cam. And it's just, it looks amazing. But what will they look like? They got two aging superstars. They don't have a lot of infused young up-and-coming talent, but, you know, they'll still be formidable, you would think. The Lakers will still be formidable, even though they're older. The Warriors in their new look. And, I mean, Houston's going to be better. The Pelicans are going to seemingly be better. Sacramento's going to be better. They added DeMar DeRozan. So, you know, you're looking at a loaded Western Conference. And when you look at it, you expect the Spurs to be better, but not quite there yet. You know, Portland's going to struggle, and it appears that Utah will struggle. Well, that leaves you 12 teams, and the Grizzlies are in that 12-team bunch. And who stays healthy? We know what happens when you don't. Who catches the right, you know, the right nights of their opponents in a couple of key situations? There wasn't a whole lot separating the top 10 last year. The Rockets kind of faded out at the end, but they were in that mix. And then obviously injuries took their toll on the Grizzlies, the Jazz, the Blazers and the Spurs were kind of out of it. Phoenix is still in that mix. So, man, it's going to be brutal. I went on the show with you guys when they dropped the schedule, and I was on the Grind City Media show right before that. And, you know, my colleague Rob Fisher loves to mark up the schedule and look at all these things. And I looked at the first 20 games, and I'm like, man, that's not an easy start. I mean, it's not like the most brutal start, but it is a tough schedule, and you have something that this team has not gone through a lot of in years past, which are five-game road trips.
Yeah.
And those add up, man. Those can get grinding, and this team has not had a lot of those. Because of the location of where Memphis is and how easy it is to fly from this city to numerous NBA cities. I mean, there's a lot of flights that are less than 2 hours, and so it makes it real easy to go, all right, let's go for a one-gamer to Indianapolis. Let's go for a one-gamer to Philadelphia. Let's go for a one-gamer to San Antonio and those types of places. Now you got 15 of your 41 games coming three trips. And how do you hold up on that? Last year they were a little better on the road, maybe because they were younger and inexperienced and didn't have, you know, the money, the types of things. I don't know how to say it. Like, you don't have the contacts you have when you've been in the league 3-4 years and you're a high level team.
Yeah.
The year before that, the road record was not great. Well, the home record was phenomenal.
There was also a lot more people that didn't have stuff to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying. So, you know, that's my point. And so, you know, it's basically a situation where you can't, I know they've got to manage minutes, but you've got to really make sure you don't take a night off and give a game back to the field, because those I think this year can come back and hurt some teams. And you know, maybe I'm way off base, maybe I'm overthinking it, but you know, it's going to be a rough go in terms of the West and for everybody, not just the Grizzlies. I'm not saying, woe is me and the Grizzlies are this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this group come together, and they're going to be good, but, you know, there's 9-10 other teams that are good too, and you're in a battle. And so find that groove as quickly as you can, hopefully.
I know math people say all 82 games count the same. Like, okay, we get it. And I know the right answer is always, well, of course you want to get off to a good start. You know, no one says, sure. You know what, let's get off to a lousy start, bad start.
Right.
Does it feel any more important one way or the other whether this team gets off to a good start to you?
I think it would be good to get that rolling forward, to get the excitement built up about Ja being back and about the team being healthy for the first time in a long time and these guys coming together. I don't think it's essential to long-term success in the season. That, to me, lies in the health factor, obviously. We saw that last year. But, yeah, I think so. I mean, you're opening with a team that no one expects to be in the postseason, yet the last two seasons, the Jazz have started off and played good basketball early year.
And we always get them early.
Yeah, both the last two seasons, you're like, wait, I thought these guys were supposed to stink. They're playing good basketball.
I thought they were tanking.
They hit midseason and things happen and they're not as good as they were. And they go on these, you know, 3-10, 13 game streaks that kind of can take you out of the mix real quick. So that's going to be one interesting one to open up with. And then, you know, you go to Houston, they're going to want to send a message. And then you got to come home to Orlando right off the bat. And you're like, okay, well, Orlando's really good. And they're going to be very good again this year. And thankfully, they play that Friday night as well. We discussed that last time. So, I think in these first 20 games, you obviously, like you said, it goes without saying, you want to win every game. You don't go out there to lose, blah, 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 blah. I would, if they're 12-8, I think you feel really good. If they're 10-10, I think you're like, okay, figure out what is keeping you from being above that 500 mark and correct that and get on a roll here. But if you come out and things struggle a little bit like they did last year, without Ja, obviously was a big factor, but when they got off to that slow start last year, you were like, this is a problem. Now, you were missing Steven Adams, you were missing Brandon Clark. You don't have Adams, but you have a replacement now. You have Brandon Clark. You have a healthy Marcus Smart. You have a healthy Ja Morant and Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson. Luke Kennard is back, and you know Santi Aldama is seemingly developed as well. You've got some depth. So GG Jackson, Vince Williams, the thing to me is keeping guys in rhythm with the depth that you have. Do you almost have too much depth like they thought they did a couple years ago where they tried to condense the roster a little bit by getting rid of Grayson Allen, by moving guys to different spots? But I think they saw last year not having enough depth, if they tried to condense it, can hurt you as well.
Did you catch a look of the video of Ja and Edie working out together?
I did not, so please explain this to me.
So, I mean, they're just working on lobs and whatnot. Like, I don't know, it kind of hit me in the feels. Justin Moore, he's guest hosting Calkins today and tomorrow, and so we were both watching it, and it's kind of sad that, like, two guys, one guy in his late 30s, another guy in his 40s, that we're, like, watching basically two guys in an open gym, and we're getting excited. That was something I didn't expect to do today.
There's reason to get excited, though. When he can just be bigger than everybody else out there, even guys that can leap, he can shield off. If you don't have time to really time your jump, I mean, look, James Harden made Clint Capella a formidable NBA player. Obviously, Clint Capella's hard work made him a formidable NBA player too. But when he came in the league, you're like, I don't know where this guy fits. He missed his first 17 free throws. He doesn't have much shooting touch. They get James Harden, they start running that pick and roll, and all of a sudden, Clint Capella's averaging like 17-10. Not because he's getting isolation opportunities, it's because he's rolling to the basket. You have to be cognizant of Harden. You can't tell if he shot it or threw a pass, and there goes Capella, and he's just had a little, he has leaping ability and he has length, and he just goes and gets it, and there's nobody to stop it. So if you can run that play properly, it's going to be a weapon. And it will also, if teams really clamp down on that, freeze up Dez, freeze up Jaren, freeze up GG, Marcus, Vince, whoever's on the perimeter. And we, you know, Marcus Smart's not a three-point specialist, but he knows how to get into the lane, knows how to score in double figures on a regular basis. So you've got the experience factor there. Luke Kennard, Santi Aldama, those guys will thrive on the when Zach Edey is out there with any of them on the threat of, if he goes to the basket, it's almost a stone-cold lock, 2 points. If you throw it up at the rim, there's nobody there to defend it. I mean, you can't have that. You can't teach that kind of size. So, no, it doesn't say a lot. I like that you guys got excited about it. I think that's going to be fun. I guess for me, you know, just kind of the wait-and-see mode, the end of, you know, the final 2 months of summer, I'm just kind of, all right, on October, whatever day that is, 9th, 8th, in Dallas, that first preseason game, we'll get a glimpse. But really, it starts on that trip to Utah, and you know we'll get to see a little bit of it. I think it's going to be good for them to go out of town for training camp. This was, you know, due to, as everybody hopefully has heard, that they're finishing the renovations in FedEx Forum, so they need to go elsewhere to have training camp. Go up to Nashville, just kind of wall it off. I remember the last time they were there, I was covering it, and there wasn't a lot of hoopla about it around Nashville. I mean, just it's not that the people up there don't like basketball or like the Grizzlies. They just kind of quietly went about their business on the campus of Vanderbilt. They're not going to Vanderbilt this year, but I thought that training camp actually helped them really come together quickly, because you're essentially on the road. You're not going into your car, going home and taking off. You're doing team dinners, you're doing team events, and you're really getting to know a new group, because that's what it is. New coaches, new players. It's a new group this year.
Well, I think the other thing that's interesting about Edie is, if we are stepping into the universe that's going to be, you know, Wembanyama is going to be a huge part of the story, and obviously with Chet and the bigs that are going to be in Oklahoma City, like, I don't know, it's intriguing to me to see, like, how Edie matches up with them. Like, you know what I mean? He's a different style player than those two are, but, like, that, mm-hmm. that to me is actually interesting to watch.
He's got, obviously, 40, 50 pounds on each one of them. And so, but, you know, Chet Holmgren can move, is a little more mobile. Wembanyama is a little more mobile. Will they be able to move quickly enough around him, or will he be able to wall off the basket? You know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, like I've said about him, I think with you and other people, I was impressed with the improvement in mobility and footwork through his 4 years at Purdue. I was, and watched him in last season's, you know, senior year effort just take beatings on a nightly basis, and you know, teams just basically saying, we can't guard this guy one-on-one. We've got to double, triple team. We've got to hit him, you know, hard. We've got to foul him. We've got to make it be a physical game and try to wear him down that way, to the point where, I mean, I think that, again, I think I told you this, they were playing like Wisconsin, it may have been, was shocking, Wisconsin with a bunch of big dudes that are physical and lumbering too.
And wanted to slow it down.
Yeah, right, and wanted to slow the pace down. And there was a point where we were in Oklahoma City, I was watching my hotel room waiting for our game, and there was a point where Zach Edey just looked over and just went, you know, kind of had that look like, if one more guy grabs my arm, hangs on my shoulder, somebody's going to eat this basketball, and it's not going to be voluntarily. I'm going to shove it down their throat. He was ticked. He was angry, and I like that. I'm like, yeah, get mad. Like, do that. Get angry, and then took it out on the court, not necessarily the players. He went right back at him and just started dominating the game, and all of a sudden a close game turned into a blowout. So I like that fire about him, and we'll see. I mean, obviously, I think when you talk about this season, it starts with 12 and where he's at and what he's capable of doing right out of the gate. This was, you know, a labrum injury is not like a knee. It doesn't hamper your quickness. It's just hampered his shoulder mobility, so he couldn't play. But if it's fixed and ready to go, it's not like a lingering injury. So he should be the jaw that we all fell in love with during the, you know, when he was, you know, winning Rookie of the Year and all these things that he went out and did, and you know, made the All-Star game twice, once as a starter, and the electrifying plays, and even last year when he came back in New Orleans. And what's his mindset? How does he handle it? How does he handle being back? He's going to hear things on the road that he probably hasn't heard as much of, or maybe did a little bit last year, but it's going to be vicious, man. I know there's going to be a lot of jaw jerseys out there, because we saw it at the Olympics, but you know how fans are. They're not exactly one to forget when a guy's had a moment and they go after him. And so how will he handle that? You know, you remember he talked about the pressures and the things he felt and why he needed to step away after the first incident, and that he needed to grow up and get his head right. How's that going to roll when we get rolling here?
The other thing we were joking about, I don't know if I was with Kevin, maybe I think it might have been with Harrington. Is it possible that labrum shoulder surgery is for shooting, where like Tommy John is for velocity? We're like, you know, can we get maybe a couple extra percentage points on the three ball after labrum surgery? Like, that's what I was hoping for.
I don't think so. I think it's completely different. I think it's
sure
not a fixing the tent. No, yeah, there's not a lot. That's a little different. You're a baseball guy. You know when those elbows get a little twingy, as we say, and you're not throwing quite the same velocity, that when you fix it and it's you put all the right things back in there and all of a sudden it's back to normal and you're working on velocity. Yeah, it's not quite the same. Not quite the same.
I had a buddy once that he had elbow problems, and he was hoping, he goes, I hope it's Tommy John. I was like, what? Like, he's like, yeah, I'm only throwing like 88 right now. Like, if I can get to like 91, 92, like I can get drafted.
Yeah. That's the mentality now, and I think a lot of guys have it because they worry that if it's not right and they don't get it fixed, that their careers could be halted and they're labeled as, oh, doesn't have the same zip on the fastball. Take a year off, get it right, and then come back and see what you can do. But, you know, I'm sure we'll see 12-year-olds in the Little League World Series throwing that hard soon. I did, you know, I heard you talking about that the other day, and I do agree with that. I do think, though, having seen a lot of, you know, AAA major level players, some of the things my son's participated in, there are some kids in that Little League World Series. When you're throwing 74, 75, that translates to travel ball. But you're right. There's, like, it's, people ask me all the time, like, well, was your son's team eligible? I'm like, no, he didn't play in the Little League organization. But there are organization.
I know they have it in Nashville. I don't think they have
a little league in Memphis. Yeah, okay, they looked it up because I was curious. Yeah, it's around Nashville. But for example, we had a player on our team that missed the end of the year with us because he played in the South Haven Dizzy Dean Rec League, which is like a little league. So they could play all stars together, so they could try to win the Dizzy Dean 12 and under series. Yeah, and like it's those same age kids, same type of deal in a rec league, but they went to play the rec league simply because they wanted to participate in that tournament, and they were all travel ball level players. Now they scattered them through the rec league, and you know, look, I people always talk about rec league competitively. I love rec league baseball. The kids are out there because they love it. They get, you know, jerseys that look like a major league team, or their jerseys, a hat, and they're out there because they want to play baseball, or their parents want them to try baseball. And then there are kids that...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.